You're listening to A Feed of the Bugcast. That was a good start, wasn't it? It's Napod Pomo. Today is Saturday, the 13th of November. I think as far as edits go, that's probably the poorest effort I've ever made with trying to cut down an intro. But hey-ho. Yes, it is Saturday the 13th of November, and it is day 13 of Napod Pomo. Welcome along, one and all. Because it's actually Friday, we have just finished recording the Bugcast episode 135, and because of that, as a direct result, we have with us a special guest. Hello.
Me.
Hello.
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 Who am I?
I don't know, but you're being kind of mousy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. It's me.
So who are you?
Oh, you mousy, sorry.
oh, dearie me.
I'm Caroline.
I'm a fire starter. Yes, let's not go into how you just try to set fire to the house with a piece of paper, setting light to it, panicking, dropping it, and then almost setting fire to the table.
It was an interesting event.
It was an interesting something.
Fireman Sam wouldn't be happy.
Oh, sorry, Sam.
Yes, so, anyway, we're not here to discuss
Nick Ranner. Nick's mum. No, Nick's dad.
Yes.
Ah, candlelit dinners. So often a prelude for something much hotter.
Okay, moving swiftly.
That was a response to me saying I tried to set fire to the table, dear.
Yes, moving swiftly onwards. You've completely thrown me now. Thank you very much indeed. Why are we here? We're here to discuss you and your project. How is your NaNoWriMo going?
It's doing okay. I'm about 20,480 words.
And by this point, you should be at 20,000, I believe,
yes.
My calculation serves me.
So I'm slightly up, but I need to catch up on this weekend. But I'm at a meaty part of a chapter, so the chances are there's going to be a lot going off. See, that wasn't me. I didn't set fire to anything.
No, the candle
but my
just,
speaking...
The candle...
I spoke a candle out.
A candle... You spoke a candle out?
Yes.
That's an interesting one. Let's light a new one. Hold on. There we go. Without setting fire to the microphone. So yes, how is it go? Oh, bugger! How's it going with the Napod Pomo? NaNoWriMo. How's the storyline going?
Storyline's still on track. I changed a slight thing. Just the conversation happened at a train station rather than at the home. But other than that, did what I wanted it to do.
Mm.
It sort of flowed better that way.
Are you learning anything as you're going along? Obviously,
when I'm tired. And then I read back what I did the previous night. I do a lot of editing.
That goes against what your
not editing as in typos. Said. It was more a case of fleshing out things because it
didn't Keith, your creative writing mentor, say you shouldn't do that?
No, he didn't say that.
I thought he said don't. Be too critical, don't go back and re-edit and change things and flesh things out, just let your gut feeling
on tangents. But what I'm saying is some scenes where I did it in say 100 words could probably be done in 500 words with more detail and make it more rich, and that's a lot of what NaNoWriMo was about, padding, but reasonable padding, not cheating padding.
Yes, I think you mentioned that last Saturday. Cool, so you're on track. The whole burning out thing, I mean, you have written just over 20,000 words now. At roughly this time last year, you were at roughly this point, but you kind of dropped the ball last year.
Because I ran out of storyline, but I haven't. I know the chapter I'm on at the moment, probably I would get a good 5,000 out of it, 5,000 words out of it at least.
So there's still plenty to go. There's plenty of
I've got a little outline document. There's about 54 points on it, and I'm on point 35, and I've been ticking them along as I go along.
Mm.
So I've got another 20 points almost to help keep me tick along. Plus, you know how I did the endy bit. If I haven't got enough words, I can expand that a little bit.
Well, it depends, because your ending has a specific hanger.
Yeah.
So you can't really extend beyond that without taking away the ability of potentially having a next project. That's a good point. If you decided to sequelize this book, would next year's NaNoWriMo allow you to write a sequel to a book that already exists?
Yes, a lot of people who do NaNoWriMo do a story or set of stories and they do a new one each year within the same theme. Although I have a slight idea for last year because at my creative writing course last week, we did two little exercises. One was to do a little piece introducing a character and making people want to read more. And I did a piece about a young chap waking up on the floor, being a bit disorientated as things go on, and he finds out his arm's hurt and he's gone on with a thump. He starts to hear a ticking on the wall, and as he looks, it starts to filter back that it was at a nursing home visiting his grandfather. Another person had taken a tumble, and the nurse had asked him to go and get something from the first aid room. And that's when he blacked out. But then it dawns on him that it's been over an hour since that happened. So then he's confused now, because why hasn't anyone come to see him?
Yeah.
And that was sort of took from going out of the door, looking left, seeing nothing out of place, looking right and seeing a body slumped. And that's where I left it.
Mm.
The idea behind that was sort of about Logan's Run that we watched.
Yeah.
Because this chap's about 18 years old, he's in a nursing home, and everybody above the age of 20 has dropped down dead.
Yeah, because we had this conversation earlier in the week, and I remember drawing parallels to, like you said, Logan's Run, flash forward.
But can you imagine...
28 days later.
Can you imagine if in all across the world, at a single point of time, everyone above the age of 20 drops down dead, which means there's no authority figures, there's no seniority, there's no people who are trained to be doctors, nurses, whatever. But then also imagine the storyline continuing, where whatever it is that caused people above the age of 20 to die is still there. So whenever the current people reach 20, they die.
Mm.
So imagine how society must have to change.
You'd never get to the end of it, though, because it would take that long to ascertain what caused it. The people that might know what's caused it have already gone.
But have they? Could there be a set of people still there? Anyway.
Are they on an island in the Pacific?
Nah. But that's the idea. That's the one I could potentially do next year. The other piece I had to do was to use a character who is bad in some way, but create sympathy for them.
Mm.
And I did a bit about a bloke looking at himself in the mirror, cleaning a cut from above his eye, talking about how he's just completed his latest job. So he's obviously a gangster of some sort.
Hitman of some kind, yeah.
Talking about how he was cleaning the blood from his face was easier than cleaning the one from his hands, because the ones on his hands wasn't his, and that he tends to do jobs as and when his boss wants him to, but this one was difficult because it was a friend. And then the sympathy part was the fact that the bloke's got a child who's got a serious illness, who would be long since dead by now, but his gangster boss has taken that child under his wing, paying for all the medication and whatnot, but also raising that child as his own, and he's not in a position to be able to provide the same way. So it ends with him downing a drink, storing money away so that one day he can be self-sufficient, and once that happens he'd reclaim his child and do one last job and take out the boss.
Yeah, John the Nice Guy, who's one of the people that's hanging around from the podcast live broadcast in the chat room at the moment, said he didn't like the way he might have read a series of books like that, but he didn't like the way that author wrote the story, so he's looking forward to reading your interpretation of the plot, which means you might have to expand on that one, because that's not one you're actually writing at the moment, is it?
No, but it's one that I could do. Same definitely. With the gangster one, that's a really...
John the Nice Guy has said, "Ooh, I like this storyline, you must publish the story, do it, 1st of December."
But the current one I'm doing isn't that. The current one I'm doing is about a couple that are on a train. One's a doctor, one's an artist. The doctor is an army doctor. They are in first class. They are joined by a third who, on an outward appearance, looks quite dodgy. He's covered in tattoos, he's dishevelled. And they don't think he belongs. The bloke's a bit more arsey about it than the woman. And he turns out to be quite charming, charismatic, puts them at ease, they have a bit of fun. Something then sinister starts to happen, which I'm not going to go into. But then that's not all that it seems. And then it goes on and on and on and on. That's why it's called Full Circle, because every time you think you know who's the dodgy one, it might change.
Watch this space.
And yeah, the gangster one I think has got a lot of scope.
Yes, it certainly has.
It went down really well in the writing workshop because I had no time to prepare it. When I read the little task
brief,
the first thing that came to my head was the name Jack Edwards. Don't know who Jack Edwards is, but the name came to my head.
Didn't you then discover that was the name of somebody else?
No, Eddie Marshall from my NaNoWriMo story, someone that we used to work for at Yale.
Yes, but where did you get Eddie Marshall from?
In my head, but obviously...
No. Who is Eddie Marshall?
He's the dodgy character.
Oh, right, he's
the
disheveled bloke.
Yes.
Right. Ah, so there you go. Well, thank you very much indeed for hanging around and giving us an update on your project. Would you please come back next week and do the same?
Yes, and hopefully should be over 30,000 words by then.
Indeed.
No more
than that.
Closing up the board.
You'll be day 35. 19, almost day 20. So you should be on 33,333 by day 20. Approximately. Do you recognise this? You should do.
Mom.
Because it was chosen specifically for you by Pete the Codger Kogle.
Okay, go on.
And we have used it as bedding music on the Bugcast before. As we have on Napod Pomo a few days ago.
Mm.
It's by a group called Second Mouse. And the track is called I Moo.
Aww.
You don't remember us playing that originally, do you? It was back around episode 100.
I vaguely remember.
Quite a fun little track, that one. Anyway, so... John the Nice Guy in the chat room just said, I really like this bed. Bedding track. Yes. Right, okay.
Well, I'm going to, because you're going over to your bit, so you still need me because I'm really tired.
Not specifically. You're more than welcome to say goodbye now.
And I'm going to say goodbye to people because... I need my sleep.
Right.
I'm feeling a bit better than what I was, but I think I'm going to go...
You're not sounding too great.
I'm just feeling really achy and tired, and I'm hoping a decent night. Then again, it could be the last two nights of having interrupted sleep from
having the kids in the bed as well,
kids who have listened to the wind, not liked it, and decided that they wanted my mummy and daddy.
Yeah, I've felt like death warmed up this week.
So,
cool.
Enjoy the rest of the Napod Pomo.
All... 7 minutes left of it, approximately.
If you had the NaPod promo, would that be a promotion of NaPod? National Podcasting something?
National Podcast Promotion Month. That's
would that be NaPod promo?
No, you just used the mo once.
NaPod Momo.
That'll be National Podcast Movember Month.
Prod Mumo. National Prod Mumo Month.
Good night, my darling.
Right, I'm going to go before I lower the tone below the table.
Sleep thee well.
Nice night, everybody. Or good morning, depending on when you're going to read this. So, what is it that Thingy said? Hello, and if I don't see you again, good afternoon,
good evening,
and good night.
No, he didn't do the kiss.
Ah, but I'm nice.
Right, I'm now going to... You just blow the candle out, you minx. Right, I'm now going to put me central so that... There we go. Right, we're going to play our track of the day then. This track is a Scar track, which I'm trying to remember now where I first heard it. But it's an amazing piece of Scar. Now, I mentioned a couple of days ago, I really enjoy songs that tell a story. This definitely tells a story. Listen to this. This is Bomb Scare with World Turned Upside Down.
like chicken away from him. It was 12 against 1, him being the one that got done. They were up with it for fun. Now he's spent another day behind bars. Bars is an innocent man. Like Ben Jill's brick walls and lots of letters. Knowing he's an innocent man. Now he's spent another day behind bars. Bars is an innocent man. Judge and jury are the sick well. Knowing he's an innocent man. Have the law's hand point the finger to the man lying broken on the ground. Can't they see that what they did to Mark Bosley was wrong? There is no justice, he didn't do it. How can it be that the first hand eyes tell lies about a story that's so obviously black and white? Sent down for 12 years, you know they got the wrong man. Now he spends another day behind bars. Bars is an innocent man.
Fantastic track, Bomb Scare there with World Turned Upside Down. Now, I don't know whether you managed to pick up on the story from that, because the lead singer of Bomb Scare has a very strong Scottish accent. Basically, the story is about a chap called Mark Barnsley, who was jailed for 12 years in 1994 for allegedly causing grievous bodily harm. Now, the actual story, the true story, I don't think anybody really knows except potentially Mark Barnsley himself. But there is an implied miscarriage of justice, because what is believed to have happened is that Mark got involved in another brawl that was happening in this Sheffield pub. But as a result of getting involved, he himself got injured. Then police were called, the police turned up, and what you had was a group of... I think it was students, group of students who were beating up this bloke who was lying on the ground. But Mark Barsley was a known anarchist. So the allegation is that the police decided to make a criminal out of the anarchist because he fit the bill, rather than let the anarchist go and go through the rigmarole of looking at these other 12 Sheffield people. So that's the basic story about it. I'm going to put a link into the show notes for today's episode to Mark Barnsley's Wikipedia page, which in turn links to some other websites and such like, which cover this off in a lot more detail. It's a very interesting story and an amazingly cracking track. So there you have it. So there we go. That was Saturday the 13th of November. It probably still is if you're listening to this. Thank you very much indeed for coming on and listening. feedback@thebugcast.org if you want to send an email to feedback on anything that we've discussed on any of these shows. And also, please don't forget, the Bugcast episode 135 will be released today as well. So that's pretty much it. I think we're going to let that one go. So it's in the bag. Thank you very much indeed for coming on and listening. Thanks to those of you that are still in the chat room from the Bugcast broadcast for sticking around. You've done pretty well. I mean, it's 10 past 11 on Friday night as we speak, and these guys are still ticking. So fantastic. Thank you very much indeed for sticking around. So that's pretty much it. So we will see you again tomorrow. Have a great Saturday. See ya.